Hi, it's Robin Hilton from NPR Music's All Songs Considered. It's our Plus One podcast. And this week we've got a conversation with the singer and songwriter Sharon Van Etten, an artist I so dearly love and we've been following for years here on the program. We're going to be talking with her about her very surprising decision to be an actor on the hit Netflix series The OA. It's a very supernatural story with a lot of surprising twists and turns, so I don't want to give away too much about the plot. I'll just say that Sharon plays a woman who finds herself stuck with a small group of people she's never met before. Here's a scene from the show. This is where Sharon gives the group a little bit of background about her own character, Rachel, and how she came to be with them.
If I ever get out of here, I'd want to sing something for my little brother.
Keep going.
I used to sing in the church choir. I was pretty good. People telling me I should make a go of it, so I took my little brother and we snuck off. It's not that we didn't love our family, we did. There was a lot of hate in that town.
So it's a very emotional role for Sharon. It was often a very demanding role. And it's something that she tells us in this conversation that she never intended to happen. Back in the summer of 2015, she had just finished a really long, exhausting tour with her band for her last full-length record, Are We There? And she just needed a break from music altogether. She decided to go back to school, and she started classes in early 2016. She wanted to work toward becoming a therapist. But no sooner had she started classes when everything suddenly changed.
It was about 2 weeks into school in February when my manager got a phone call for me to audition for this Netflix series. Very mysterious, only sent the reading, which was a paragraph, and instructed me to sing. And we just decided, let's just check it out, see what it's all about. I probably won't even get called back. So we got a recommendation for a coach, and I went just to one meeting, one-on-one, with an acting coach.
An acting coach, yeah.
Just to be prepared for the audition.
What did the coach tell you?
She was great. Because of the character's nature from the very limited reading we got, she noticed that I was biting my lip, which is what I do a lot in my real life. And I was obviously nervous, but the character portrayed that as well. So she said to just be very aware of my body language while I was reading. She's like, use it to your advantage and use it towards the character, but also be aware that you're doing that. And take your time with it, because you don't have a time limit for this very short reading. And just draw from personal experience whatever you can, because whatever happened was pretty horrific. So every time I did that, I just got teary in my eyes and wavering in my voice. And she just said, without any context of the story, I feel like this is the best interpretation we can do without more information.
So how did the audition go?
It was really intense. So you go to this waiting room. It was the A.V. Kaufman Casting Studios in New York. You go to a waiting room, and it looks like a dentist's office other than the movie posters on the wall. It's just a white room with plastic chairs, and everyone was super nice, but it's nerve-wracking. You know, you're waiting to do something you've never done before, and you're about to pour your heart out about what you don't know. You know, this very anonymous kind of reading. So they called my name, and they showed me into the room, and it's just like what you imagine it would be. It's a chair and a camera on a tripod. And I think it was A.V. Kaufman herself behind the camera with the casting agent that was the one that reached out to my manager. And he had seen me open up for Nick Cave in 2013. And somehow that was his reference when he called to ask about my availability. Something about that vibe was what they wanted in the role, and I have no idea what that was. But he kind of went back into his mind.
Heartbroken and lonely?
I had to sing in the room a cappella after the reading.
But they didn't tell you what song, right? I mean,
yeah, they let me pick it out. Like, I did the reading, and at the very end of the reading, you know, there was instruction to sing, you know, there's direction to sing in the reading, but I stopped after the reading and then asked if they wanted me to sing, and they're like, yeah, that's kind of the thing. It's kind of what we're after. I'm like, oh, okay. And I picked a song of mine because I felt like I could be more true to it and let go a little bit more than if I were to choose somebody else's.
The song was I Wish I Knew from, is that your first record, Because I Was in Love, the opening cut maybe?
Yeah, that was my first record, recorded by Greg Weeks in his basement studio in Philadelphia.
So you never really acted before. I'm just imagining this offer coming into you. You're going to school. It's sort of the furthest thing from your mind. You're taking a break from the music business. What on earth made you think that you could do it or make you want to do it?
Well, I've got to say, it took much deliberation, especially when I knew the timeline was so quick. As soon as they told me I got the part and that it had to start in like a week or two, and the reality sunk in that I'd have to withdraw from school in order to take the role, I struggled with that quite a bit. I called my mother, I called my best friend, and I was the only one that was skeptical of taking the role because I was afraid that I wasn't being true to myself by giving up school and pursuing psychology. Like, that was the reason why I was going off the road. And now I'm gonna become an actor. Trying to become, like, taking a role and becoming an actor when people work their whole entire lives to become an actor and get a role like this, I felt like a fraud if I were to take it. But part of the reason why I agreed to do the reading was because the character was very close to a time in my life where the character ran away from home. She grew up in the choir. She was close with her brother, and she decided to move to Tennessee to pursue music. And on the way to Tennessee, something really crazy happens. I don't want to give it away too much, but for me in my real life, I grew up in Jersey, and I decided to move to Tennessee to pursue music, and I went through some pretty horrific things there that changed me very deeply. And I don't know the exact word I want to say, but very spiritual way, it ended up helping me pursue music even after these horrific things happened. And that's very similar to what my character went through. So she had an intense thing happen, and her voice changed after these experiences. So I just felt like the universe was kind of winking at me, like, you can try to plan as much as you want, but you close one door, sometimes more than one open.
We're not going to have any spoilers in this discussion, but I'll just say that your role requires you to cry, or at least show a lot of emotion more than once. I was watching that and I was thinking, what's going through your mind at that point? How did you get to that place where you could do that, basically cry on command?
Well, one of the things that was really helpful when I decided to take the role, I already connected with the character because she had been through something horrific, and I still connected with that very much. So I was going to a very real place when I would react like that. But it wasn't easy every time to cry. And that one scene, which I won't say what it is, but I prepared so much for that one scene. Like, the day that we actually shot it, I was like, oh, it's my day, it's Rachel's day. And I did everything exactly how I had planned it, and I cried exactly when I wanted to cry, and I was quavering my voice wanted to quiver. And then I realized I had to do it like 50 times that day. you know, and someone had come over to me and like kind of winked and reminded me that they're probably still getting the lighting right. They're probably not even sure if they want you standing there yet. So
right.
Try not to lose it all in the first scene, because yeah, we'll probably be doing this for half of the day. And it was, you know, it's only like a 5-minute scene, but you shoot a 5-minute scene like 50 times.
All that said, can you imagine yourself doing more acting? Are you open to that? Is this something you want to, a road you want to go down?
I'm still a musician first, and I won't ever lose sight of that. And I don't think I'm going to start pursuing a new I don't think acting is my true calling. Like, it's my new career path, but if I do it again, it'll be for something interesting. I promise you that.
The response to the OA has been so great, and I wonder if you've thought much about whether you will end up being known more for this role than your music.
I'm very curious. I go to the gym in my neighborhood, and it was the first time where one of the guys there said my name and said that he saw the show. And he's like, what else have you been in? I didn't know you were an actor. I just started laughing. I'm like, well, I'm not an actor. I'm a musician. He's like, what?
Right. So where are you with school? What's your long-term plan?
Well, I only went part-time in the fall of 2016. And I just got my grades back. I got 2 A's.
Congratulations.
In abnormal psychology and art history. And I have a ways to go, especially if I still have core requirements just to be a student there and to get into the psychology program officially. But if I'm going to be doing school and music and potentially acting, I feel like the realistic goal will be by the time I'm 50, I'll be a therapist. But if I give myself 15 years to pursue all the things that I want to pursue, then I feel like that's realistic.
And you're about to have a baby in a couple of months. That's certainly going to turn everything upside down too.
Exactly. So our child is due in March, and I feel very lucky that I have the luxury to take my time and be with him and be present and just be home. And I don't have any plans in the calendar for a while. So we're going to focus on being a family and being home and just loving this person, this human being. And I have no idea what that's going to feel like, be like. But I feel very lucky that we have the time to be slow with that. And then as we feel maybe more prepared, I don't know however prepared you are, but when we get into a routine and know what that home life is like after he's born, then we'll start planning what comes next, because I still don't know if there's a second season of the show. I still have a record that I want to record. I have all the songs written, and I still want to go back to school. So once we know we're good with home and child, then we'll figure out what comes next, because we have plenty of things we want to do, but no one is pushing us to do any of it.
That's singer, songwriter, and now actor Sharon Van Etten talking about her surprising appearance on the Netflix series The OA, and also talking about what will hopefully be a new album from her. She says she should be ready to get back into the studio within the next year or two. In the conversation, she and I talked about the song that she sang during the audition. It's the song that she ends up singing a cappella in the show itself. The song was called I Wish I Knew, and it was the opening cut to her first full-length record that came out in 2009 called Because I Was in Love. And we'll go out now on that full song, I Wish I Knew, from Sharon Van Etten. For NPR Music's All Songs Considered, I'm Robin Hilton.